somewhere in the middle. That's the first thing. The other thing I wanted to, just two other general points that I like to put at the top of every metagothic sheer ever. The first is that we're talking here theoretically, okay? At the end of the day, in any bioethics or metagalacha discussion or chayla or case study that you ever come across, the details are always going to be more significant of that particular case than any principle you may have heard or learned somewhere. So we're talking principles here. We're not talking practically. So I may make fun of some or all of you at some point tonight that will probably currently be on YHWH. I should try and be nicer, but probably not because nobody listens to me on YHWH. That's fine. That's first of all. But more importantly, when we talk about things that you may or may have feel that you have a personal connection to, so this is plastic surgery. Myself having had some plastic surgery done to me, not particularly with my will. It was definitely not with my will. I was pretty little, but they did it anyway to take some stuff off of me for no particular reason. Just makes it look like I got shot in the back a bunch of times. So I'm not a huge fan, but nonetheless, I'm sure some of you or many of you may have had plastic surgery. If I make fun of plastic surgery or any specific surgeries, don't take it personally. I'm not making fun of you, okay? Any specific case or Shaila or not Shaila that you may or may not have asked is totally not my problem. Okay, that's between you and your posig and God. We're just talking about the broad stroke principles, okay? So that's very important to recognize that that's the disclaimer. So if I sound callous, it's because we're not talking on a personal level. Okay, I'm much less callous when I'm talking to individuals. I'm still callous, but not nearly as much so as you're about to find out. So those of you that are in my class, you know most of that already. The other thing I'm going to ask you is once I share my screen, I'm going to see very few of you. So either just shout at me, which is totally fine, or if you're nervous to shout at me, meaning for those of you who are not in my class, feel free to use the raise the hand feature and I will definitely call on you. There'll also be time for questions at the end. I will leave time. And I'm also happy to stay as long as it takes to answer questions. I'm not running anywhere. So I know officially we're going to be done 2 minutes before nine. But I'm happy to stay as long as people need questions answered, that's totally fine by me. So don't feel like you have to run just because we hit 9 o'clock. Okay. That being said, let me share with you. So I'm going to share with you a slideshow because I think that's just easier than doing it on Mara Mokomos on a giant Zoom chair like this. I'm going to try to expand here so that I can see some of you at least, more than just three of you. Okay. So here goes. Okay. So most of the time when we're talking about medical ethics, first of all, just for those of you who never really heard the term before, although I'm sure many of you, if not most of you, are pre-med, I can't possibly be that you're here because you're in my class, because then you'd know that you don't need to kiss up to get a good grade, because we don't do that in my classes. So that's not relevant. Your grade is already determined. So that's a shameless plug for my classes, by the way. But anyway, that being said, all bioethics cases, and when we talk about them in terms of secular ethics, so in the secular world, i.e. the non-Torah or non-halachically observant world, so we use terms like medical ethics, bioethics, ethics, ethical, which more or less all mean something like, let's find a value that we like and apply it to a case and then decide that's how we should live our lives, which is all wonderful and very nice. It's also totally not how Jewish law works. Jewish law, meaning halacha, does not work that way. Halacha is a system of obligations, system of requirements. You must do them. If you don't do them, then you are not part of the system. It's just that simple. So when anytime anybody ever says to you Jewish medical ethics, what they really just mean is halacha. And if they don't mean halacha, then they don't know what they're talking about. Okay, that's just a good rule of thumb. So if you hear Jewish medical ethics and then you don't hear anything that has to do with halacha, and you hear lots of pontificating, you should either leave or you should point out to the person that's talking that they should really stop because they don't know what they're talking about. Okay, we only have a system of halacha in Judaism. Now, for PR purposes, we call it Jewish medical ethics or Jewish bioethics. That's a misnomer. It's just halacha. It's very, very, very simple. Okay? We're going to analyze things halachically. So, that being said, oftentimes when we start a halachic sugya, we'll start with the psukim. The problem is, in medical halacha, there's very few cases that were actually relevant until about 200 years ago, because modern medicine really didn't take off until the Industrial Revolution. Anything before that was pretty much just, you know, made up potions and snake oil. So very few things are really discussed in great depth in early sources. So most of the goal of bioethics, Jewish bioethics, also known as halacha, is to take sugyas that we know in Shas, in Gemara, in Rishonim, and apply them practically in different ways to modern cases. Okay, so it's not always a perfect fit. Some fit better than others. Plastic surgery is a pretty easy one to fit. So as we're going to see right now. Okay, so normally I would start with psukim. The problem is that we need to figure out a couple of things, and that's going to be a little complicated. So we're going to take a look through the lens of the Gemara, and that's going to back out for us what Isser in the Torah we're talking about. So those of you that are not familiar, right? In order to have something be a mitzvah or something to be an avera, also known as a losa, say something you cannot do in the Torah, has to be a pasuk. There has to be something there. There are a handful of things that are not in Torah at all. There are halacha Moshe v'Sinai. Almost none of them are practical today, with the exception of the way that tefillin are shaped. Those are pretty practical today. Most other things are somewhere in the Torah on some level. So the question is where. So we have to figure out where exactly are we going to talk about classic surgery in the Torah. It's going to be somewhat hard to find. So let's start with the Mishnah in Maseches Bava Kamma, which might give us a little bit of a place to start. So the Mishnah says, "Achobel ba'atzmo afal pishein rashai pater." Someone who injures themselves, even though they have no permission to do so, pater. They are exempt. And I'm literally just translating right now. I'm not explaining anything yet, okay? Because we're going to analyze this Mishnah. Achirim shechavlu bo, others who injure him, chayavim der chayev. They're obligated. Da'kotit tzitiyosav, somebody cuts down his own trees, afal pi she'eno rashai, even though he does not have permission to do so, pater. Achirim, if other people do it to his trees, chayavim, then they're chayev, they're obligated. So there are some obvious problems in the Mishnah. So for starters, just the first word. Now, again, this Mishnah is part of a much larger Mishnah. We're going to discuss that in a minute. But just on the very basic din of the Mishnah, which is what we just read. So what's going on here? Right? So the word chavala generally means injury, means to hurt or injure. In halacha, that usually means to draw blood in some way, or at least cause some kind of discernible mark. So break a limb, cause a bruise, things like that. So what does injury here mean? What kind of injury are we talking about? That somebody who injures themselves, even though they're not allowed to do so, but they did it, they're pater. Well, okay, so if you shoot yourself in the head, right, presumably that's causing yourself an injury. So are you pater? We call that suicide usually, and that's something that gets you not buried in a Jewish cemetery. So you're definitely not pater, right? That's pretty chayv, as far as, you know, things can go for punishing dead people. So, right, and we can build a spectrum out from there, right? That's the extreme case, and we can build a spectrum going down from there. What if you give yourself a paper cut? Or you were playing with a thumbtack and you cut yourself, right? Or you were playing tackle football and you bruised your knee. So you did that, you did all those things to yourself. So where does that fall on the spectrum? Now, what about, does it include other things like recreational activities like marijuana or vaping, right? So if you go across the bridge, not far from where I currently sit, you could buy marijuana now. And you can smoke up as much as you want. I wouldn't know. I've never tried it, but they tell me it's fun. It doesn't seem fun, but they tell me so. So are you allowed to do that? What about vaping? By the way, is vaping very bad? Don't do vaping. Definitely kills you. Like severe lung damage, not good stuff. Don't do that. Marijuana also not good stuff, but it's less certain what it's not good for. It's definitely not good for your brain, but it might be fine for the rest of you. Vaping is bad for all of you. Okay. Does it include medical treatments, right? So what if a doctor wants to slice open your chest and fix your heart because you have a heart valve problem? So is that considered injury? So for those of you that are in my class in Stern College, so, or in IBC, so then you probably have discussed this ad nauseum at this point, right? Are surgeries something that can be considered injurious? The answer is, well, sort of, right? And the answer is, well, yes, but also not really. And it depends why. And we're not going to really focus on that part tonight, but it's just something to think about, right? What about in terms of injury? Does that have to be harmful in both short and long term? Right, when we talk about injuring someone, so what if you know it's going to be fine, right? If you stub your toe or somebody breaks your toe, right? So if somebody breaks your toe, they have to pay you for the damage they caused, right? So is that short-term, long-term, things like that? So those are things we have to think about. That's just in terms of what does the word chavala mean. Then there's the second really issue in the Mishnah, which is when we say hachovel be'atzmo, so are you yourself wielding the mechanism of injury? So say you want to break your arm with a baseball bat for some strange reason. So is it the same thing if you literally take the baseball bat and, you know, clap it on your arm and shatter it, or you ask someone to do it for you? Does that change anything? Can you appoint a shliach to do that, right? So that's something you have to think about. And then, of course, the most obvious question in the Mishnah is, okay, so the Mishnah says, going back here, sorry, afal pi she'eino rashai, even though you do not have permission, pater, you are not obligated. Okay, not obligated from what? Right? Normally when we say pater and chayev, it's your pater exempt from or obligated in something. Pay money, malos, chiyav misa. Okay, so you're not allowed to hurt yourself, but if you do, then you're pater. Okay, pater from what? So we're gonna, you hurt yourself, you weren't allowed to do that, so we're gonna tell you, oh, and you're not gonna get malos for that, or you don't have to pay yourself for that, right? So what are we talking about, right? So I just gave you the two possibilities right there, right? It's malchus or paying yourself. You're probably not going to kill you for injuring yourself or tell you that you're exempt from that, right? Specifically, since we know that if somebody else injures you, we don't kill them unless they killed you, in which case that's a bigger problem. And we're probably still not going to end up killing them because in Yed Hasara, and it's a really complicated process, which never works out. So also, we don't do that anymore. So, right, we have to figure out what are the issues in this Mishnah. So here we go. So some background, okay? So just because it's not worth spending like 15 minutes reading the long Mishnah and then trying to explain it, here's the short story. Okay, the Mishnah has a story about a guy who decided to be a total we're not going to be on recording. I was going to say a word that shouldn't be on Yed Torah. A not very nice person, okay? And he goes up to some woman and he disgraces her by uncovering her hair in public. And she takes him to Beis Din to sue him. And Rabbi Akiva is presiding over the Beis Din. It's very possible the story is apocryphal. But again, that's not my department. See academic Talmudists if you care. And she takes him to Beis Din and Rabbi Akiva says to him, you owe her 400 zuz, which is like a $30,000 to $40,000 payout. Adjusted for inflation to today's payout, that's a lot of money. So this guy is not so happy, and he's like, okay, I need some time to get the money together. That's a lot of money. So he said, okay, so the Beis Din grants him the time, so whatever it is. So instead of course, going to gather the money and figure out how to raise the funds to pay this off, what does this guy do? He takes a big jug of oil, and he goes stands outside of her home. And as soon as she walks out the door, he smashes the oil in front of her and watches and has two guys standing there hidden to be witness to the story as she uncovers her hair and either uses her hair or her hat, depending on your version of Rishonim and how they explain the Mishnah, to soak up the oil. So he sends his witnesses to Beis Din and says to Rabbi Akiva, hey, Rabbi Akiva, you're going to make me pay this lady 400 zuz. She embarrassed herself. So why do I have to pay, you know, her damage for embarrassing her? She clearly doesn't care. So why are you making me pay? So Rabbi Akiva responds exactly what our Mishnah says. Hachovo ba'atmo, etc. So now, given that, the Gemara wants to know. Rabbi Akiva was the one who said, even though you don't have permission to injure yourself, if you did it, you're pater. Whereas if somebody else does it, you're chayav. Hence the reason why this fellow has to actually pay up his 400 zuz, right? So then the Gemara says, V'atanya, okay, on this case in the Mishnah about this man and this woman who are fighting. V'atanya, we have another brisa. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says to the man, Salalta b'mayim adirim ve'alisa cheres b'yadecha. You went deep diving and all you got was pottery shards, which is basically a phrase for you got nothing. You went to all this great effort to try and prove that you don't have to pay her with a trick, and instead you came up with nothing. You got nothing here. This was a totally waste of your time. Adam rasha ilachava ba'atmo. A person has permission to injure themselves. Okay, what's the obvious question? Right? It's clear that we have a stira. Rabbi Akiva himself in the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to injure yourself. And yet here he says, Adam rasha ilachava ba'atmo. You are allowed to injure yourself. So what's going on? So Amar Rava, Lokasha, not a steer at all. Kan bechavala, kan bevoshes. One case is talking about actual injury, and one case is talking about embarrassment. Now, at this point, which one would you think is which? Excuse me. You would think that our Mishnah is talking about embarrassment, and Adam Rasha Lechavo Batma is talking about injury, right? Because clearly, there was no personal injury in the case of the guy with the uncovered hair, right? It's just embarrassment. That's really what he did, right? So the Gemara asks, our Mishnah is talking about Boshes. So what's the problem? Our Mishnah is talking about Boshes, and you're not allowed to do that, and you're allowed to injure people, or you're allowed to injure yourself, rather. So what is that going to solve? So Gemara says, Hachi Kamerlei, lo mi bai Boshes, don't tell me Boshes, embarrassment, to Adam Rashai Levayishet Atzmo, that a person is entitled to embarrass themselves. Ela afilu chavala, even injury, de'ein adam rashai l'chavol ba'atzmo, that a person is not allowed to injure themselves, achirim shechav lebo chayavim. Now this is a very strange Gemara, right? Because you wouldn't tell me that it's a kol shekein, right? Ela afilu is that something that's even more obvious. So even more obviously, if somebody's not allowed to injure themselves, so other people injure them are chayav. Really? You should say that other people who injure them are putter, if that's what you're trying to tell me, right? The same way, Eino Nevashar L'chav L'atzmo is Pater. So this is a strange thing in the Gemara. We don't have time to get into it tonight, but just note that it's not so clear. The Gemara itself ignores this point and goes off on a tangent, and then the Gemara comes back to it. But the Rishonim deal with this strange oddity in the line. They deal with it. It's not for tonight. It's not an issue. So for those of you that are going to be bothered by it for the rest of the night, don't be bothered by it. But it's just something I wanted to point out because it's where the whole sugya gets started. And the reason why is because at a certain point, the Gemara comes back to earth from its various tangents and tries to answer that very question and says, Elatanoi. Okay, fine. You're right. It's a steer in Rabbi Akiva. We're not really sure how to deal with that. Leaving all of that aside, what's the bottom line here? Are you or are you not allowed to injure yourself? It's a machlokas tanoim. Dikol amanda amar inad amashay lechavo ba'atzmo. there is one mandamar who says that you are not allowed to injure yourself. The ikam mandamar other mishay lechava ba'atzmo, that you are allowed to injure yourself. Machlok is good. Okay, so which one? So our Mishnah that says that you are not allowed to, right, Rabbi Akiva, our Mishnah reports that Rabbi Akiva says you're not allowed to injure yourself. So what Tana is that going like if it's not Rabbi Akiva? Okay, so we skip some steps in the Gemara to get to here, but that's what the Gemara is trying to deal with. So who's Tana, what Tana is it in the Mishnah that says that if it's not Rabbi Akiva? Assuming, of course, Rabbi Akiva thinks you're allowed to injure yourself. So the Gemara tries to figure out who holds that you're not allowed to. Elahai Tanahu, it's the following Tana, the Tanya. It had a couple of tries before we got to this point. Netanya, Makaran al Hamis, Velomi Darke Amori. You're allowed to tear your clothes, but not because of what the Goyim do. Okay? This is a different discussion for a different year. Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar says, Shamati, I heard. Shamakare al Hamis, Yosur Midai. If you tear your clothes too much over a dead person, Lokamishun Baltashtas. You get Malkos for Baltashtas for destruction of property. Vikol Shekin Gufo, and certainly if you damage yourself out of sorrow for your dead relative. So Gemara asks, Vidoma Begad Mishani, the Pseda de Lohadarhu. Maybe tearing your clothes is different, because remember, what does Rabbi Elazar say? That you get Malkos for Baltashkas when you tear your clothing, and Kol Shekin Gufo. Kol Shekin what? Kol Shekin that you get Malkos, or Kol Shekin that it's not supposed to be done? Right? It's not so clear. So the Gemara kind of just doesn't want to deal with that, and it goes right on to the next thing. So maybe clothes are different. Don't bother me about clothes. I don't want to hear about your Baltashkas and your body's Baltash. Don't leave me alone. I'm not interested in that. Why? It's totally different. And how do I know that it's totally different? That clothes are something you're allowed to damage on occasion. He had Rabbi Yochanan Kari Lamani Machmedusa. He used to call he had a particularly friendly term for the laundry people. We're not going to translate that. Rav Chista Karhava Maski Beni Hizmi Vihigi. And there was another story. Again, Rabbi Yochanan is criticizing the laundry people because they do what all dry cleaners do to your clothes, which is ruin them, right? They clean them for the first 3 months. Then they send you a bill, you pay, and then they ruin them every single time after that. That's how dry cleaners work, at least the dry cleaners that I know of. Right, so hence he's not so happy with the dry cleaners. Rav Chista, another story, he was walking, the full version of this Gemara is in Masechta Mod Katan, and Rav Chista is actually walking to hear the Shir on Yantif, and he has to cross a river, a stream. And Madli Luhulamane, he lifts up the hem of his robe to cross to the river so that it doesn't get, or to get through this marsh, so that it doesn't get pulled on the thorns. Hizmi Vihigi are thorns and brambles. I'm sure is what probably our scroll says. So Omar, Zeh Ma'ala Aruka, V'zeh Inu Ma'ala Aruka. What's his answer to why he's doing this? Why is he getting cut by the thorns and not letting his clothes get torn? Because he thinks that, well, his legs will heal pretty quickly, but clothes getting ripped, that's really annoying to have to fix. It takes a long time to fix that. So he thinks that it's mutter. Therefore, you see that why tearing clothes is mutter, and more so, tearing yourself is mutter, right? Because he's avoiding tearing his clothing and letting himself be injured. So if he's being injured, he doesn't care, right? So that seems that at least it implies that it's mutter. Okay, so how do I know it's usher? Elahai Tana. Netanya. Amar Rav Elazar HaKafer Berebi. Ma Tamad Lomer. V'chiper Alav Me'asher Chata Al Nefesh. V'chibe Eze Nefesh Chata Zeh. What's this person who needs kapara? What sin did he do that he needs to bring this carbon chatas? Elah Shetzir Atom in Hayayin. He became a nazir. He refused to drink wine. Balod Varm Kavachomer. Isn't it a Kavachomer? Mazeh Shetzir Atom Lel Min Hayayin Mikra Chote. Somebody who refuses to drink wine and becomes a nazir. He's called a sinner. If you cause yourself pain in any way, certainly you're a sinner. And that's where the Gemara ends. So Gemara seems to imply that according to the Mandamar, that you're not allowed, our Mishnah, that you're not allowed to injure yourself. Why is it because? It's because of a nazir. Just like a nazir is not allowed to become a nazir, because he's not allowed to be mitza'er himself, he's not allowed to hurt himself in any way, or torture himself in any way. So the same thing is true with self-injury. Now, self-injury, right? We keep using that word. So we're talking about plastic surgery tonight, right? So let's just skip to the end point here. In what way is plastic surgery self-injury, right? So let's just analyze for a second. So for starters, I saw some of the cases you guys talked about. So let's just talk about the surgical cases for a second. I think that's case one and case two. Did you all talk about all three cases? Is that how it worked? No, different groups. Do all the groups know which cases they talked about?
No.
Okay, so let's do a quick chazar here, okay? Some of you talked about a group where they were doing a nose job, and I'm going to be very crass right now. Some were talking about a nose job, some were talking about liposuction of some kind, and some were talking about getting your ears / something else pierced, right? Whatever it is. Those are the three basic cases, okay? Good. So the question is, well, what about that is self-injury, okay? In all of those cases, someone else is doing it to you. Okay, so that's the first thing that really becomes obvious in the whole discussion. So if we're going to talk about self-injury, in terms of somebody else doing it to you. So we have to view the person doing it to you as really part of what you're doing. So in order to say that, we're going to have to at least view some of this as something that you need to some degree. Now, the problem with that is that we have this Tosfos that we're about to read. This Tosfos thinks that you're not allowed to injure yourself or allow yourself to be injured. Okay, we're not going to get into the allow yourself to be injured thing. That's part of the sugya. Part of the being injured by someone else, even though you want it to happen, is allowing injury. Okay, so once we say that, so we have to figure out as follows. Tosfos says here, El hai tana hu detanya mekare. Remember that story from Chisto where he picked up his robe that we just read a minute ago? So what's going on there? V'im tomar, Tosfos asks, my self is aitech hashta. What did you think? V'chial zetzarach lavi raya de mekare begadim over mishum v'al tashkes. Did you think for one second that this is the reason that the Gemara brought it to tell you that it's you're over in Baltashkas? Obviously, right? We know that if you tear your clothing for no reason, you're Baltashkas. So what's going on here? So why is the Gemara bringing that story of Rav Chisda to prove that that's Baltashkas? Obviously, duh. The Omeri, the Eimi V'Iraya, it's not a proof. Ella she'aser lachvo afiul etzora. You're not allowed to cause yourself injury, even if it's necessary. What does that tell us? That at minimum, if you think you need something, doesn't matter, you're still not allowed to injure yourself. Now, let's assume for a second that surgical procedures that you ask for is called you injuring yourself, okay? There's a complicated explanation in halakha why that's true, but let's just assume it's true because I don't want to get into it. Now I've got 10 minutes left, and I want to show you some of the whacked opinions that we're going to see tonight, and then some cool, some ankle opinions, and then why I don't really understand how the world treats it. So the Rambam basically argues on Tosfos, and the Rambam says, it's nothing to do with need. Okay, don't tell me anything about that. The Gemara is trying to tell me that the whole reason why it's usher to injure yourself is to tell you that even if you need to, you're not allowed to. Leave me alone. Nothing to do with any of this. Forget all the reasons the Gemara suggested. Forget Nazir. Forget suicide, which is one of the early reasons the Gemara suggested. Forget tearing clothing. Leave it all alone. Rambam. And this is exactly what the Shulchan Aruch says, by the way. Usher la adam lachvo bein ba'atno bein b'chavero. A person is not allowed to injure himself or his friend. Velo hachovel bilvad, and not an injuring person alone. Ella kol hamakya adam kasher miYisrael. Anybody who hits or injures, really, any person from Klal Yisrael, bein katan, bein gadol, a child or an adult, bein ish, bein isha, man or woman, derech nitzayon, and there's a different gear says we'll see in Rav Moshe Feinstein, derech bizayon, which is in a way that shows dominance. Derech nitzayon is dominance. Hareze over belosasa, you are over on a losasa, shenemer lo yosif lakoso. You're not allowed to add on any malkos to the person who is chayiv malkos. So if he's assessed to only get 21 malkos, so then and you hit him the 22nd time, you're chayiv. You're not allowed to do that. Why? In his year of Torah shola hosted by akasa chote, if this guy did a sin that he gets malkos for, and you're not allowed to add on an extra lash, kal v'chomer l'makas atzadik. Certainly, if you hit someone who is not a sinner and didn't get malkos from Beis Din, if you hit them, you're chayiv. So what's the Rambam totally basically threw out our whole Gemara? He said that the din of the Gemara is correct. It's true that you're not allowed to injure yourself. It's true that you're not allowed to injure other people. And the reason for both of those are the same. You're never allowed to hit anyone, ever, for any reason. Okay, so then how does the Rambam ever let surgery? In fact, the Rambam himself says that you're supposed to seek medical treatment. And the reason why I know that is because he says it's a Gemara in Bava Kamma, 5 blot earlier. Barapo yirape, mikan shenasin let hatorah shos lerofi larapos, right? Doctors have permission to actually heal their sick patients. So if, let's say, you need surgery to heal a sick patient, and by the way, sometimes that requires cosmetic surgery too. So for example, someone with a severe cleft palate, right? Everybody see those ads on the side of buses ever back when, you know, people used to go outdoors? No? Never? You guys are all too young, I guess. Some of you have seen it? Okay, great. I'm really not that much older than you. So if I'm dating myself, that's really, really sad for me. I'm 27. You guys are not that much younger than me. Anyway, besides the point, right? Cleft palate, right? Everybody seen that? That's a cosmetic surgery, right? No one would tell you you don't do that surgery on that kid. You don't give that kid that surgery, that kid's dead. You need to do the surgery on those children, okay? Otherwise, they can't breathe properly. They won't be able to eat functionally. They will die. They all do it before the age of 10. They don't get the surgery. Surgery is expensive. So why is it mutter? Your own thinks it's mutter. So why does he say these words, derech nitzayon, specifically, presumably, to exclude types of injury that are not for the purposes of showing dominance or for showing abuse towards another person, but rather, presumably, to help them, right? In fact, the Rambam himself discusses, quotes a Gemara, where it talks about a case where a father is injured and the only person available to care for that father is the son. And the son is allowed to, normally a son would not be allowed to medically treat a parent because if he causes an injury, causes any blood to come out of a parent, that's a chiyuv misa. But nonetheless, if there's no parent, if there's no one else available present and the child is the only doctor, the child has to treat the parent. So clearly that's injury. So what's going on? Why is there on things that smutter? The answer is because there's a very specific criteria for injury, which is that it needs to be derech nitzayon. It has to be some kind of abusive approach. That being said, so what's the bottom line? The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, as he oftentimes does, verbatim, achovo ba'atzmo, afal pishenu rashai, acherim shechavlu bo'chayavim, right? You're not allowed to injure yourself, and he does not include the word pater, presumably, again, because we don't really know what you're pater from. We don't have time to get into it now, but presumably it's some kind of makos. We're not going to get into it because it would be strange to exempt you from paying money to yourself in the first place. That wouldn't seem to be a punishment, so let's leave that aside. Now, if you injure yourself, why would you ever have thought it's okay? And the reason why we ask that question is because, for those of you that have ever been in my classes before, so this Sif and Shulchan Aruch should be very familiar to you. Okay? Any stumbling block, my least favorite art scroll word, right? Anything that will cause mishap, that has a potential risk of life, mitzvah saseh lahasiro, you must remove it, ulehi shamer mimenu, and to protect against it, ulehi zar bedavar yafen, to be very careful about it. Shenemar, hi shamer lecha ushmar nafshecha. You must protect your life. The imlo hasir, and if you didn't remove that thing, and you left all those things that are going to cause damage, hita mitzvah saseh, you undid a mitzvah saseh in the Torah, v'avar below sasim damim, there's a mitzvah below sasim damim v'esecha, you violated the mitzvah of ma'akeh. Fine, good. So you, not only do you have to protect against damage, if you damage, you're not allowed to. And yet, you're not chayiv against yourself if you damage yourself, right? So again, presumably there has to be a reason why. So why is that? So let's talk about cases where you may not actually be chayiv. I only have 5 minutes left, so we're not going to look at the minchas tzichuk in depth. But remember, all surgeries, and we're going to talk about piercings at the end, okay? I promise I'll get back there for those of you that talk about piercings. All surgeries have some risk, okay? Because they require some kind of anesthetic, some kind of anesthesia, whatever it is. So all surgeries have a minimal threshold of risk. So he says, v'af mishum sakana, v'asur l'adim l'saki nafsho, as we just saw in the previous slide. Nonetheless, after he goes through the whole thing, blah, 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 v'yishlomar dehu hava b'chla chola, somebody who wants a plastic surgery because they want to make themselves look nicer, is considered a sick person, and therefore he wants to allow the treatment, i.e. the plastic surgery. So for those of you that did the case of the nose job, they latakin olashaper hatsura o ezer aver. The person desperately wants to fix their appearance or to make one particular limb of their body look better because they looked funny or there's some problem there, whatever it is. So we treat that person as a chola, and therefore it's mutter for them potentially to undergo a surgery. Aval mikol makom, nonetheless, hari eino b'chal chola sheish bo sakana. They're not a chola that's endangered. So if they're not a chola that's endangered, there's a limited threshold for how much risk they're entitled to take, right? A chola whose life is not endangered is not allowed to put his life in danger. But the question, of course, then becomes, well, how dangerous is plastic surgery? So even if we were to think that there is a psychological reason or a potential long-term reason to allow a plastic surgery, so the question is, well, in what cases? So the reason why that's important is because you have to realize that with all surgical procedures, doesn't matter what it is, the standing answer is that it's not allowed unless you need it for a particular reason. Because injury is usur. Risking your life is usur. You're not allowed to do these things. So if you want to do these things, and sometimes they're necessary, so you have to have a good hetzer for doing so. Usually that is to save your life, or because if you don't do this, down the line your life will be impacted in some way. So the question is, what's the threshold for that? So we're going to look very quickly at the two differing opinions on the opposite end of the spectrum, and I'm going to summarize them because I have 3 minutes left, and I always do this to myself. It's not your fault. I always give myself... expect to finish faster than I usually do. Anyway, Cyril's laughing because he took my class and we never finished anything. So Tzitz Eliezer quotes an opinion from a Sefer Shari Tzedek, which was written by the Av Beis Din in the Munkacsér Chasidus in Hungary, where he basically says that you're never allowed to do anything that messes with the way you were created. So he thinks that all attempts to fix pregnancy issues and fertility issues are usher. So the Tzitz Eliezer is like, okay, that's way too far. We don't do that. That's like insane. We have lots of midrashim in the Chumash that tell us, in the Torah, that tell us that the avos and imos who had trouble having kids, they sought remedies of every kind, and it's mutter, it's good. Everybody who's having infertility issues should fix them. Fine. Wonderful. However, when it comes to plastic surgery, that's a step too far. Because there, not only are you trying to mess with what God did, but you're also taking a risk to do it. And that, he's like, that I can't deal with that. So he thinks that all plastic surgeries are usher gamur. Straight up, nothing to talk about. Now, Rav Moshe, on the other side, tries to fix this problem. And he says the following. When Tosfos, we said before, says that you're not allowed to injure yourself because of need, right? So Tosfos was seen to imply that anything that is called a need is not going to allow you to injure yourself. And Rav Moshe has this very clever idea, which is what he thinks is as follows. He says, need is only defined when there is no other concern that is pressing you to do this. So for example, need is because I decided I want to do this. That is the need that Tosin is referring to. But need that is coming from an external source, such as I need a job. So if my job is playing tackle football, mutter gamur. Why? Because now I need to make money. So making money, that's okay. So once we determine that there's a reason that there is something that you want to do, some other reason other than what you want, that's already passes the Tosfos threshold. So what about the Rambam? That has to be about abuse. So Rav Moshe says the following very interesting thing. He says, Aval Rambam makasav reish perakei mechova v'isr haka la'adam chashem yisrael. Rambam writes when he says that it's usher to injure someone. Shuvimaka derech nitzayon. U'lechad girsa derech bizayon. It has to be abusive. Bim kain. Bo'ov dazu. Shachavala hu liyafosa. Right? He's talking about a rhinoplasty. He's talking about it, somebody wants to know his job. But the case is that the injury is to make this person look nicer. Hare'inu derech nitzayon v'zayon. It's not abusive. Why? Shul shaycha iser. The iser is not relevant here. Because when you ask a surgeon to do something to you, they're not abusing you. You ask them. They need your consent. In fact, if they touch you without your consent, it's assault and battery. And they're going to lose their medical license. So, of course, it's not abusive in any way. V'im b'makeh chaveru hu rak derech nitzayon v'zayon. Gam b'makeh ba'atzmo in leser k'shul yafos she'ino derech nitzayon v'zayon. If the only time you're chayav when you injure someone else is if you do it in a nasty way, so that would also be true when you do it to yourself. That's where we're talking about that you'd be putter, but you're not allowed to. When? Only if you do it in a non-abusive way to yourself. Now, that's the basic machlokas. Now, the reason why it's such a hot topic and no one really knows what to do with this is because Shlomo Zalman kind of played both sides of the fence. He's like, well, I don't really want to do it. He says, V'achanami gam kan esher diesh lahakel, that's Rav Moshe, and you're not going to argue with Rav Moshe's fire because it's true. This guy, he really just wants to fix his nose because he thinks he's not going to get a shit off. And it's like one of those classic, like, you know, French cartoon hook noses for the Jews. You know, he said that is just too much. He can't deal with that. But it's not really usher. He just doesn't think you should do it. And Rav Shlomo Zalman kind of went back and forth. So in terms of the first two cases that some of you may have described, the rhinoplasty, right, the abdominoplasty, right, all these surgeries. So if there's a real psychological need here, or really any need at all, so you have Rav Shlomo Zalman and Shmi Mutter, which is why I may make fun of you, but it's not actually usher. Piercings is a more interesting question, because there's really no gain other than, as Rav Shlomo Zalman says, Le'yipo nirid de usher. The problem is that I was told a story by my Rebbe Yehuda Willig, who was told this story by his good friend, the late Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zev Chatzadik HaKadosh Lebracha, who once told him the following story. His daughter wanted to get, I forget which daughter it was, that wanted to get her ears pierced. And Rav Aaron Lichtenstein told his daughter, no, can't do it. It's usher. It's chavallah. So his daughter was fighting with him. He said, okay, fine. You know, let's go to the Gadol Dor. We'll go to Rav Shlomo Zalman. So they went to Rav Shlomo Zalman, and he invited them in. He sat them down at the table, fed them some cake and coffee, whatever it was. Talked to both of them for a while. And they said, okay, so why are you here? So Rav Aaron's like, Rebbe, you know, my daughter, she wants to get ears pierced, blah, blah, blah. He said, okay. And he listens to her. He said, okay, so why do you want to get your ears pierced? And she gave her whole spiel about all her friends, blah, 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 whatever it was. And Shlomo Zalman thanks for saying, says, Aaron, it's okay. Everybody does it. And that was Happy Paskin. So at the end of the day, piercings, even though it's true, it probably fits into the Chabalah Sugya. Shlomo Zalman himself didn't really buy into his own wishy-washy head there, at least for Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's kids. And he held Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, as I do, in very high esteem. So that basically summarizes the very high-level Sugya. Obviously, for those of you that have taken my class or will take them in the future, you could go much deeper on every single one of these points than in my classes I tend to. But I hope this gave you an overall approach to this sugya and why at least there's a question about plastic surgery. And next time you go for an operation or procedure or callously suggest to someone they just get X, Y, and Z thing done, maybe think about the fact that you actually have to consider it from the Torah's perspective, which is, are you taking a risk in any way that the Torah would frown upon? So with that thought, I would like to open the floor to any questions. I think probably the most orderly way to do this is to use your raised hand feature, and I'll call.